Good morning, friends. I'm glad to be with you today. I'm glad to be able to pretend like I can see all of you in person while we're connecting with each other through our eyes and through spirit. Today, I'm going to be speaking with you about the power of our minds and our words to transform our world. I'll be talking a little bit about how we see things and how we use our words and our thoughts to shape our response to the circumstances around us. We've certainly had some circumstances around us this week. And I would be remiss if I didn't speak about them here. There would be a huge elephant between me and the camera. So I'm just going to call out the elephant so that we can let it go on its way. It is distressing and disturbing and a little frightening to see human beings do violence, especially when that violence is done upon institutions and people that we trust to carry out the work of this country. And so in our Wednesday night class, which was just a few hours after the big incident at the Capitol this week, the nation's capital, our Wednesday night class, we did a little bit of processing about it, but we didn't linger on it. And then I spoke about it on my Facebook Live message on Thursday. So today I'd like to continue with that by saying that I usually don't talk about political subjects from the pulpit. That to me is just a way to keep that separation between church and state very clear. And also, my job as a unity minister, as a New Thought minister, is not to influence you toward one way of thinking or another, but to help you find your own truth so that you know what is right in your heart and so that your actions reflect that. My job is not to give you answers, but to help you find your own because I trust the divine in you. But I do feel that it is important for me to say that I have signed a statement that was issued by the National Council of Churches condemning the violence and the rhetoric that led to it this week. That is my personal conviction, but it is also the conviction of many of my colleagues around the country. So you can decide what your response is to what happened this week. It's important to be able to name our feelings so that we know exactly what we're working with, but only if we can follow it up by statements of truth that reflect a deeper truth than our feelings at the moment. I'm just going to probably say that about 15 different ways today. It's important for us to know what we're feeling so that we can work with that. We can use that as fuel that leads us into the living Christ in us, the divine spirit that we are born with, which I talked about last week, so that our words and our thoughts reflect the divine more and more than it reflects our reactions. So, for me, the truth is that this country was built for and built upon discourse that is reasonable and respectful. There were a lot of mistakes made when this country was founded, and of course, it's just like we make mistakes in our youth. This country made some mistakes in its youth. But more and more, we're looking to correct those things that were overlooked omitted, left out, not a priority when this country was founded. We're working more and more toward a life that is balanced and good for all. And beloved, it is a slow process based on the 65 years I've been on the earth. But it must be a continuous process. It requires that we determine how we're going to affect the energy of our local environment, of our state, of our country, of the world. That's up to us. My personal conviction was to sign that statement. And your personal conviction may not be to do that kind of thing. That's fine. I trust the Christ in you. So if we look past our trauma and our horror and start looking toward the truth, then we begin to tap into something which is more eternal, it's more lasting, it's more real, with a capital R, than the current circumstances. It's not ignoring them. It's not trying to make a nice little honey butter spread of positive platitudes over what we see and hear. It's not about that. It's about us recognizing that we have something in us that contains those eternal truths. Beloved, if you are a big spiritual seeker, and I know in the beginning I did this, if you are a spiritual seeker, sometimes you just want to gather all those books and read everything that you can so that you can get the truth and you can get it in your head and in your mind. And what I want to tell you is that your spiritual awakening started before all the books. The reason the books are good, the reason the lessons are good, the reason good speakers are good is because it identifies with a truth you already know that maybe hadn't made its way yet to your conscious mind. So you can't read a book and get spiritual. You can read a book and see where it pings to the eternal truth in you. That's what you can do. You can pray. But it's important for us, now more than ever, that we find what is true for us and how we can move past the temporariness of our feelings into holding right thought, right action. And I would even say, at this time, our prayer for protection is the most important prayer we can pray right now. And it's not, please God, protect. It's not, please God, watch over our country. God is already our protection. God is watching over our country. God is everywhere at all times, even in the midst of the mess we saw this week. Now, that's a hard one. That's a hard one for us to hold on to. But either it comes down to an either or. Either God is everywhere present or God isn't everywhere present. Which do you choose? I mean, we have to see that, don't we? Because unless we have some darkness, sometimes it's hard for us to see the light. And sometimes from the darkness, great teaching comes. One of the things I spoke about on Thursday is that we allow... I lost my train of thought. One of the things that I spoke about on Thursday is that we can see what is most important to us by looking at those events and going, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how sacred I held our Capitol building and the work that occurs there and the historical significance of it. Sometimes the bad example is the teacher. So Let me just give you a few thoughts. I'm teaching this month, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, the book Practical Metaphysics by Eric Butterworth. And so I'm just going to drop a few of these little truths out to you. He says it's important for us not necessarily to set things right, but to see them right. Do you understand the difference there? Setting things right, it might be a result of our will to change things. But unless we see them right first, whatever action we take to change things will not be as effective or permanent. We have to see them right. We have to see this country at peace. We have to see this country united. We have to see our brothers and sisters as our brothers and sisters. No exceptions. There's a great little story in this book about a woman who was upset about something. And somebody said, don't you think that maybe you could think about this a little bit differently? And she said, it seems to me that when the Lord sends me tribulations, I ought to tribulate. Which is the habit we get into. So I would just ask you, have you been tribulating this week? Because that is nowhere in our spiritual teachings that we tribulate over what we see in our world. That's such a great old-fashioned kind of word, isn't it? Oh, I've had a year of tribulations. You see, we're in divine mind, we're in divine thought all the time. We can't just put it on. It's already there. And like I said last week, you can't say, I would like to be spiritual. You are spiritual. What you would like is a better expression of your spirituality. What you would like is something that inspires you from your deepest self. Have you ever noticed that if a person speaks to you with authenticity, they can deliver just about any message, and it's easier to receive than somebody who speaks to you out of reaction? Have you noticed that for yourself? That if you have to have a hard conversation with somebody, when you speak from your own truth and you speak with that authenticity and compassion and clarity and power, the message is received differently than if you go in with your fists up. Or if you go in scared they're not going to like you if you say something. Folks, we are engaged in spirituality at a higher level than that. I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I want to draw the difference between horizontal thinking and vertical thinking. Horizontal thinking is linear, usually. We think of a line like this. And it's the kind of thinking that gets us information. It's the kind of thinking that gets us reactionary. Vertical thinking, and you can just kind of think of this kind of in a line of chakras, if you will. Vertical thinking is where inspiration comes from. It's where the way things are in truth, not the way things ought to be. So one of the things that he suggests for this week is that we really go on a word fast. Yikes. A thought fast. Oh, have we got a visitor on the stage? Hey, Spart. Spartacus, our church cat, is, I don't know, expect him up here one Sunday to read the daily word or something. He could pray. He could pray with that. He could just look right in the camera and you'd know exactly what he was praying. When you hear or read something that resonates with you, It's because that you're remembering something that's a truth already. And that's what I love about reviewing the basics, because they never get old. The basics, we always need the reminder for starters, but also when we come to them again, when we come to these truth teachings again after having studied them over and over, we're coming to them with a new thought, a new mind. We're coming to them with the life changes that we've experienced. And so they speak to us anew. But what Eric Butterworth suggests is that we take a week to have a word fast and to have a thought fast, so that we are watching every word that comes out of our mouths. Because, friends, our words are powerful. And if you keep saying over and over again, oh, I'm so sick, oh, I'm so sick, oh, I'm so sick, and you never balance it with, I am whole and healthy in God. That's just a suggested affirmation. Then you will begin to see your body respond to your words. You will begin to have more peace in your soul and body. If you look at somebody and think, you know what they ought to be doing? If they would just listen to me, then they could be doing this, this, and this to make their life better. Mm-hmm. That's how they ought to do it. If you find yourself saying to somebody, well, if I were you, I would. Or if you say, oh, you know what you should do? Stop it. Stop doing that. Instead, or even worse, here's what I should do. Here's what I ought to do. Here's what I ought to think. Here's what I should think. And we just should and should and should on ourselves. It's more important that we say things in the affirmative for the way we would like to see them correctly, to see them with right judgment, to see them from that divine-inspired vertical place. That's our responsibility. And oh my goodness, we have such an ingrained habit of saying things that perpetuate something less than the truth and less than the best for us. That's our habitual thought. So it feels kind of weird before. I haven't done a word fast in a while. I try to watch my words and thoughts, but boy, this is hard work. This is hard work because then you begin to examine everything you're saying and thinking. And it's okay. It's okay to do that. And you're not going to do it perfectly. If you do it perfectly, tell me what your secret is so that I can write a book and get very wealthy because of it. It makes us feel a little self-conscious because then we're responsible for what we're saying and thinking. It's not just a blip that comes out of our heads. Our heads are not reliable, my friends. Until we learn that we are masters of this dominion, then we cannot live the full and spiritual life that we want to live. Last night, David and I watched again that sweet, sweet Pixar movie called Inside Out that shows you the characters that live inside this young girl's brain, her thoughts and feelings. And during this whole movie, this young girl is kind of pulled around one place to another, depending on the adventures and the mishaps that the thought processes in her mind go through. So there's joy, there's sadness, there's anger, there's fear, and there's disgust. And if you haven't seen this movie, it's for adults. It's made for kids, but it's really for adults. And one of the things I noticed after watching that movie last night is that these feelings were in charge of how she was doing. And I would guess that if they were to make an adult sequel, they would make it, I would hope, They would make it so that she begins to notice what she's feeling and has the tools to begin to reshape her experience. In this case, it was only when sadness prevailed that the young girl was able to acknowledge what was fueling everything that was happening in her life and how she was feeling about it. She had to grieve. She had to say what she was sad about. That was authentic. That gave her a chance to have some more empowerment in her life so that she could go about her life more consciously. I'm just expanding on the movie a little bit. It doesn't actually go into all that, but I think you catch my drift. Our experiences don't cause our thoughts, friends. We cause our thoughts. Isn't it good to know that we're not part of a hive mind in which we have an experience and we all react the same way? Oh my goodness, what a mess we'd be. But you can align yourself with groups of people in which you can commiserate, in which you can cluck. You know about clucking, don't you? Dang. Did you see? Did you hear? Aren't you just? And we do that, and we're human beings, we do that. But eventually, to keep ourselves from feeling icky all the time, we bring ourselves back to the truth. Listen, there's a story in the scripture of Jesus before he started his ministry going out into the wilderness for 40 days. In the scripture, 40 days means as long as it takes. 40 anything means as long as it takes. He may have been gone there for 40 days or for 2 months or for 72 hours. But during that time, Jesus was tempted with his own thought processes. He was tempted to assuage his thirst by misusing his power. He was tempted to throw himself off of a high place and be rescued by God to show people how powerful and special he was. The story tells it that the devil came and did that. Satan came and did that. We're beyond blaming Satan. There is no horned guy with a sly voice sitting on one shoulder offering us bad things, evil things. Nope, those are our own creation. They're our own creation. And until we can acknowledge that and accept that, we sure are going to judge ourselves and we sure are going to judge other people. I can't know exactly how the thought process has worked in the people who did violence last Wednesday. But I do know that I have done violence in my thoughts and words. I have. We all have. And forgiveness of ourselves and asking forgiveness of others is important to our spiritual journey. And the more we do that, the more we pay attention, the more uncomfortable it gets for us to be in a place of dissonance within ourselves. It's so important for us to be able to take responsibility for our thoughts. And I want to share with you something that Butterworth said. I hope you can join our Wednesday night class. It's so fun. If you say to yourself, "What am I going to do about it? That's just the way it is. I'm just a negative person. I was born that way. My parents have been that way all my life. That's the way I grew up." If you find yourself saying that, time to quit. Time to quit blaming your past, your parents, the state you lived in, the town you lived in, what happened to you. It's time to start taking responsibility right now for the way you're going to be, for the way that you are. You're beloved. You are. You have everything that you need to live a fulfilling life. It's already there. But you see, the gift of free will allows us to decide if we're going to use the truth for good, use the truth for growth, use the truth to affect change in the world. We get to decide that. We don't have some savior that's going to come along and make it all better. We're responsible for that. We're responsible for it starting right here. And let peace begin with me. I didn't wear this peace sign today on accident. I wore it on purpose. Because today I'm standing for peace. No. Today. I am standing for peace. And let it begin with me. Let it begin with you. Stop clucking. Start reshaping, reframing those thoughts into powerful thoughts for good, powerful words for good. And listen, the idea that if you think certain positive things, you're going to have certain positive conditions in your life has changed a great deal since new thought first arrived on the scene in the late 1800s. It was the beginning place for people who had felt like they were victims of their circumstances. It is positive thinking, and I'm sure it's had a great influence. But let me say this, Butterworth says, positive thinking is not sitting around holding images, filling the mind with platitudes and self-motivating images. You see, this is essentially not positive thinking at all. Positive thinking is a matter of tuning yourself into the infinite positive, which is the creative process that always flows within you. You see, it's a collaboration between us and God, what we create. It's a collaboration. We're not doing this all by ourselves. We're doing this with spirit-given tools that are already living within us. I don't think any of us realize actually how powerful we are. That we're each that flapping butterfly on the other side of the world that begins to change things for everything else. Oh, I have so much I'd like to share with you about this. Your idle words are dangerous. Watch out for your idle words. The subconscious does not know the difference between casual and not casual utterances. Subconscious doesn't know the difference. It just takes in the information, processes it, and it bubbles up and comes out in your life. So do something that gets you out of your fear, your anger, your sadness, your disgust. Begin thinking rightly so that you can know the truth that lives in you already. And there are so many avenues and tools that we have for this. So many. This little book is one of them. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Man is an inlet and become an outlet to all there is in God." Not some of what there is in God, all that there is in God. We can become that. There's a beautiful prayer in Hebrew called the Shema. And it means, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echal." The Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's a prayer we all need every single day, every moment of the day. Butterworth has a statement called, "Let something good be said." And we could bring that into every circumstance. Let something good be said, but I accidentally wrote it down as let something God be said. Same. That's a typo I can live with. And beloved, if you're going to speak your truth, it's important that you not think in terms of ought, but in terms of is. That's the shift. Dear God, I need more money. Versus, I am holy, free, and abundant in God, in divine spirit. I have enough. That's the affirmation. So what do we do about this week? We affirm divine order. We affirm divine order, and we don't do it as a platitude. We do it with what I call a think-feel. A think-feel unites your heart and your mind so that there is conviction and a knowing behind the words that you say. Divine order is at hand. Divine order is here. And it's especially important for us to know that when things look so disordered. The light of God surrounds all those members of Congress. The light of God surrounds everybody, everywhere, whether we like them or don't. Who are we going to leave out? The light of God surrounds all of y'all, but not y'all. The peace of God, that's for you guys over here, you good guys. You guys over here, y'all don't get peace. Well, if we're not going to pray for the people that irritate us, who are we going to pray for? I know I'm asking you to dig your claws into the truth and hang on. Because this is radical thought. Not radical in the political sense, but radical like revolutionary, radical like powerful and necessary. Sink your claws into it. And when you find yourself clucking, dig your claws in a little deeper. I know that looks kind of violent. You know what I mean? We have to hold on to the truth like it's the most valuable treasure, because it is. And it goes beyond all appearances. It goes beyond all temporary circumstances and events. And sometimes, beloved, you see this picture, you see this beautiful picture of our blue marble here? Sometimes you need to get out this far away, back away from it, so that you can go over here. I'm moving around, Elton. So that you can go over here and you can just bless all of this. Bless it. These people here and here and on this side over here and not very many down here, but there's some, and all these people right over here, and they're here in the South Pacific, and we have to bless everybody. Because that's a golden rule, isn't it? We've got enough in this country of people saying, you're wrong and I'm right. I don't like you, I like us. We all have to be us. We have to be us, united. I see us as a united people. I see us. Sometimes as a trained, academically trained historian, I have to look at this as a point on a timeline of a human history and know that we will move beyond. But that means I have to get way back here and take a very cool, sincere, observation mode in order to know that we're okay. But whatever it takes for you to get to that truth, do that. Listen, what's it going to hurt you to pray for everybody? And I don't mean prayers like, God, punish them. Smite them. I bet we did some smiting this week, didn't we? There's people out there that have been smote. Is that a word?
Yes.
Okay, good. We smite people with our thoughts and our words. I'm not asking you to do this perfectly. I'm not asking you to do this every single hour of the day, but I'm asking you to try. Because you already have everything you need to be a powerful force for peace, for justice, for right action, for change. Not just change, transformation. I'm asking you. If not us, who else? And so now, let's take a minute to be still and just take all of this and all of your reactions that you might have had to what I said this morning. And just remember their reactions. We're united by the truth, no matter what. I'm taking this meditation directly from the chapter on our thoughts. We take a moment to be still and remind ourselves that we live in the medium of infinite mind. So that ought to calm you down right there. We live in the medium of infinite mind that is deep and rich and eternal. Same intelligence that creates the universe is the intelligence that is the essence within every thought of your mind. Every thought. Every thought of your mind is an expression of infinite intelligence, even the negative thoughts. We realize that thoughts are forced into the molds of human consciousness according to our will and according to our interest. We commit ourselves to thinking the kinds of thoughts that we want to think, the kinds of thoughts that we want to see manifest in our lives, knowing that thoughts produce conditions. We affirm for ourselves, now listen carefully, beloved, I am not what I think, but I am thinking what I think. And the self of me that thinks has the capacity to think positively. I decide right now that during the week to come, the 2 weeks to come, the month to come, I'm going to think the kinds of thoughts that I want to see manifest. I am not going to react to conditions. I'm going to creatively express the positive power of infinite mind. Creatively, that means uniquely as you. I'm not going to simply be a horizontal thinker, responding and reacting to all the things that are happening in the world. I'm going to be a vertical thinker. I'm going to know that even though it would appear there are a lot of problems out there, I don't have those problems. People have those problems. The world has the problems. I have the capacity to deal with them in a positive way. Those people and the world don't make us. We do. Let's make a commitment this week that we're going to discipline ourselves to keep ourselves in constant control of our minds. Observing. You know what it feels like when the observer is observing you. That is your higher intelligence. That is your Christ spirit. We're not going to be disturbed or upset if a negative thought flits into our mind because we're thinkers. and thought habits are deep-seated. We're going to know that regardless of the negative thoughts that come into our minds, we cannot identify with them. We don't hold on to them. We let them go. Instead of saying, just like me, just the way I am, there's no hope, we can say instead, I have the power and the capacity to rise above this. And I say to this condition, completely not identifying with it, get thee behind me. Get thee hence. I say no. I begin to say yes to a lot of wonderful, powerful things. Things that I read, things that I see, things that are beautiful around me, I say yes to them and say no to the things that I don't want as part of my life. Beloved, this morning, I had a rainy, snowy drive to Wimberley from Austin. And in the midst of the cold and in the midst of the dreary weather, actually, I'll just call it the weather. One of our friends here on staff pointed out to me that there are robins all about. So I went looking for them. And there were the robins that I would have missed. So, beloved, we help each other. We listen to God in the still small voice and in the voices of other pilgrims along the path with us. We listen. So today in your heart, my friend, look for the robins. Look for that which blesses you and for which you can be grateful. See a circumstance in the world and just lay some good, honest truth on it. And I open my eyes to you now because we stand together in this, my friends. One little comment about the robins made a difference in my morning. So let's help each other out. Let's know that the truth is always, 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 always right here, always inside us. It's in charge, not all of our thought processes. So I stand with you in holding the truth this week. I stand with you in watching my thoughts and words. I hope when we gather on Wednesday, you can let me know how you're doing. With all these truths, we say, and so it is. Amen.